You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Your confidant. You go to them with all of your problems. You are so open and honest with this person. But now you have two people. So now you choose to have half the time you're confiding one person, half the other.
I mean, do you only confide in one person, period? Like, do you have multiple friends in which you confide in?
He only confides in me.
It's I all have right my here mother. On the... This is, that's all I need.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
My mother is a sex expert, a cougar, and the world's oldest living millennial.
And my son is a stand-up comic, a mime, and the ultimate Buddhist clown.
Together we chat about sex twice a week, once on Mondays where we listen to your voicemails and texts, respond to them on the Monday morning after show, and once on Thursdays with a wonderful guest. In this case, we have 2 wonderful guests on the show.
I actually think we had 3, just that one wasn't here.
We kind of did. We had the Multi-Amory podcast on this week with Jace and Emily. Those are the 2 hosts of the 3. Dedeker is a 3rd, but she couldn't make it. And we get into polyamory like we've never gotten into polyamory before. Are you a convert?
Am I a convert? No, I don't think I can handle it. I have enough with one guy. I can't add it. Don't add any more stress to my life.
They do make a pretty strong case for it, and they really go into the nuances of what that lifestyle looks like.
Well, so what about you?
I'm looking for one person. You know, like if I can get more than one, great, but if just one person that I want to spend time with would be phenomenal.
But what it's interesting is it's not just one sex that they're attracted to. They're attracted to both sexes. It just has nothing to do really with if you're gay or straight or it's just whoever
you got all bamboozled. This seems like very out of your
wheelhouse.
Yeah, out of your wheelhouse, just given the fact that you didn't grow up with this type of thing.
I just grew up in a very traditional background of, you know, back in the 50s and 60s. Even the hippies, I don't think, believed in that. Who knows? They might have. I was only 10 at that point.
Free love type of thing going on.
Yeah, yeah. So
free love. So polyamory basically is not just like open relationship where you're just fucking everyone. Polyamory, for those who don't know, is multiple amory, love. So you tend to have multiple relationships where you actually do feel feelings towards other people.
And we discuss in depth what that means. Does it always mean sex? Does it always mean just companionship? Is it a combination of both?
Oh, yeah. We get into the nitty goddamn gritty.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of people have been talking about like, well, it's, you know, if I'm going to be with one person for the rest of my life, you know, what's that going to look like? How do we keep the spark alive? I think this is one way that people can do it.
Maybe. I mean, it's complicated. There are a lot of challenges with this this lifestyle, which we get into. What I'm trying to say is it might be the solution for some, but not necessarily everyone.
So before you met with them, you had a preconceived notion of what polyamory would mean if you were to be involved in it. Did it change after you interviewed them?
It opened up some questions for me. Like, for example, are your relationships overall more shallow with your romantic partners because you're involving other people? That this was a big one that I think we got into. I was excited about that.
You were excited about that?
Yeah. How about you? Did your preconceived notions change?
I kept thinking that it seems like we're adding more stress than ever. And then I also started thinking, well, maybe I am in a polyamorous relationship every time I'm with one of my best friends and, you know, we hang out together.
Yeah, I did raise a lot of questions of what's the difference between friendship and romantic relationships. And I'd love to hear what you guys think about that question. What is the difference between a friendship and a romantic partnership? Obviously there's a sexual component that usually goes with the romance, but sometimes that doesn't happen. So if you take sex out of it, what's the difference? Please text us or leave us a voicemail at Yes Text Mom.
That's Yes Text Mom. That's our voicemail.
That's correct. Typically we explain at the top of the show why we do this podcast. So do you want to take a quick second to explain that for our new listeners?
I think this is one of the reasons we do it, so we can learn a lot more about all different types of relationships. So we're not like, okay, society tells us, you know, we spend time in our teens and 20s experimenting, and then you meet somebody, you fall in love, and you get married, and that's it. They don't teach you anything after that.
Any of the alternatives.
Any alternatives or even questioning what you're doing.
Yeah.
And monogamy is freaking hard.
Look at that.
So it's a good thing to talk about it. And I think that's why we do this podcast.
I love their response. By the way, if you love this podcast, please join our Patreon community.
What is Patreon?
It's a little community where we get together with other people who agree that we should be talking more about sex. A lot of you guys said on our listener survey that you wanted to eventually join that Patreon community. I think that this is a perfect time to do that.
Yes, because you know why? We have a little challenge going on.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenge is, if you can get us up to 50 patrons, and I think we're in our mid-30s right now.
I think, yeah, we're almost at 40.
We're almost at 40. If we can get up to that 50 mark, you know what we're going to do.
Edible blueberries.
Blueberries?
Edible blueberry-infused marijuana. Infused marijuana blueberries.
Yeah, otherwise we'll just be eating berries.
I am happy to be just eating berries.
It's so exciting for all our listeners to hear our podcast while we're eating berries and be like, chomp, chomp, chomp. No, really, we are going to... Now, I mean, it's not going to be a big dose because both of us are lightweights, but we will partake in some meta... Because we're in California, it's legal. I want to preface that.
This is way too much time on the blueberries.
Okay, well, whatever. You guys... It'll be a funny podcast, so help us get there by joining patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
Also, you get bonus content there. To this episode, we give a whole 20-minute segment on our Patreon page that is awesome.
It is well worth it.
Yes, so check it out. You can join for very little per month. And if you just want to help us out in a subtle way, not so subtle on our end, you can leave us a review on the iTunes store. Here's a beautiful one that I read.
Let's hear it.
Short and sweet. It just says, awesome, 5 stars by Saka B. Helps me slide through Monday morning blues. You guys are awesome.
See, this is what makes our day.
I want to help you slide through those Monday morning blues.
Yeah, we can slide away.
Slide in there.
Monday morning blues. Why do we have Monday morning blues? We shouldn't.
Well, mainly because you drink on Saturday night and you feel it on Monday.
And what about Sunday?
Sunday, you're in recovery mode, but it usually takes 2 days to get past it.
You look like you're recovering right now.
I am recovering from our live show that we did at the Hollywood Improv, which was a freaking blast. Thank you to everyone who came out to that.
Yeah, you guys, you have to see some of these live shows because you're missing out. You're missing out on some hilarity.
All right. On that note, I think we need to let them have it, Moot.
And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and loving everyone in polyamory. Oh my God! I stunned myself there. See what happens when you're hungover?
Stunned. Jason, Emily, welcome to the show.
Woohoo! Thanks so much.
Why, thank you. Absolutely.
We're very excited to have you.
We finally made this happen.
I know.
Yeah, I didn't realize that y'all met at PatreCon. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's where you looked familiar the whole time.
Oh, really? That guy. I think I know him from somewhere. That's amazing.
Like, first, I thought it was movie star.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Just podcast star.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Podcast star. Well, you guys are podcast stars. You host the Multi-Amory podcast.
Indeed. Yeah.
Okay. So what is Multi-Amory? How'd you choose that name?
It was your fault, as of the names are.
So when we started our show, it was a podcast about polyamory. It's since kind of broadened a little from there, but there's kind of this joke that floats around on the internet every year or so where someone says, oh, you know, my professor said that polyamory is wrong, and I started to get mad at them, and they're like, no, because... poly is a Greek root and amory is a Latin root, and you can't put the two together. It should either be multi-amory or polyphilia.
Oh, wow.
So and we weren't going to call our show polyphilia.
Well, very perverted.
The funny thing is, though, when we were starting it, polyphilia was taken and multi-amory was not.
No way.
So go figure.
Ooh, there you go.
The polyphilia podcast.
They've still never put anything there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it was
they just
to be
bought
like
the
a,
domain name or
like
something?
A, dating and social networking site for poly people.
Oh.
But they still haven't launched it as far as I know.
Yeah. I was always very upset that the Mimecast was already taken.
What's that? Mimecast?
Mimecast.
Oh, mime. Yeah, oh, yeah, because you're a mime.
Yeah. I just thought it would be funny to do a mime hosting a podcast. Clearly, you just hear him banging into shit.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. Oh, my gosh.
That's an exciting.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But Mimecast is already taken, and it's not that good. Anyway, all right,
love it.
We're excited to have you guys on
thank
the show.
Thank you so much.
Very long introduction.
Oh, okay, so you are polyamorous, correct?
So he is. Okay. Actually, I am not anymore.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Emily is not.
Yes, but I was for quite a while.
Several years.
Yeah, 3, maybe 4 years. Yeah, and Jason and I were together monogamously initially, and then we became polyamorous after about a couple years.
Oh, wow.
And then Dedeker came into the picture, started dating Jace. Then the three of us started dating each other, and our podcast happened during that time.
Was born out of that.
Indeed.
What would you call it? A triad? Or
correct. Yeah. A triad. Not yes.
Cam, very impressive.
Oh, you're welcome.
Terminology.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, there you go. That's yeah. Great. Well done.
Well,
yeah.
I did some research too, and I got very confused. I was like, well, it's, you know, someone asking like, well, it's polyamory. So, and it's poly, and then it's multi.
When you were growing up, were there any of these terms?
Hell no.
Really? What about like open or just, I don't know.
Our open marriage. Maybe.
Yeah, open marriage, oh, exactly.
Open marriage will be that. But very few people I knew were openly married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Openly married? Openly openly not married. No, most of the people I know are cheating on their spouses.
Yeah,
you know, right. If that's going to be the case.
So that's non-consensual, yeah. Non-monogamy.
It's consensual on one party's part.
So non-consensual. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Definition.
It's like, are you monogamous? My wife thinks we are.
Oh, jeez. You know, right. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's not what we're doing here.
So
yeah.
You guys really have experienced it all.
Yeah,
you've been monogamous, you've been polyamorous, you've been in a triad. Mm-hmm. So,
and you're in your 30s.
Yes.
Yep. We have both in our 30s.
Experienced a lot more life than I have.
Yep. I don't know about that. We don't have children, and you do.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Hello.
There you go.
So you're Jace, you're currently in a polyamorous relationship.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I still identify as polyamorous. And I'm in a relationship with our other co-host who unfortunately couldn't be here today.
Oh.
Because she's spending this week in Northern California with a partner of hers who lives in Singapore.
Do you have other partners too?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Right now I have just two. I have Dedeker and one other partner, Caitlin. But at other times I have had more partners or less. Sometimes I've only had just one. But yeah, and then they also have other people that they date or other partners or kind of whatever.
What are your feelings like just knowing that she's with another partner right now?
I mean, it's fine. You know, I think
Alex is awesome.
Alex
yeah,
is great.
He's
first
super
of
great.
All.
Yeah.
You know the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We all went out to dinner on Tuesday. Yeah.
You guys don't do like the whole orgy thing.
No. And that's a common misconception.
I wasn't thinking that you were. I'm just curious if that may be something you might do in the future.
I mean, I have been to orgies before or sex parties or play parties or whatever.
An orgy.
Really? Well,
you'll have to make that happen.
It's not too late.
I like the way you say that.
It's not too late.
My mom is trying to get in on this, but that's
by far like the minority of the experience. Like most of polyamory is just the fact that you have multiple relationships at the same time.
And they may not even be sexual.
Potentially, yeah. I had a partner for a while where our relationship with each other was basically asexual. Like we were romantic with each other and very sweet with each other, but just didn't really have sex together. Not because we couldn't, or it just kind of wasn't part of our relationship.
I'm kind of like that with a lot of women.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, if you think about it, I mean, sometimes I'm very super close with one particular woman or more. But we don't have sex.
But there is a difference here. Like,
what's the difference?
This is a romantic relationship that you're describing, right, Jace? And what you're describing seems, I imagine, is more of a friendship.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's a funny question, though.
What's the difference, right?
Yeah. What's the difference between a friendship and a romantic relationship besides sex?
I don't know.
If there's other people involved.
Sure.
So, I mean, if there's other people involved, it's not like you have like one bestie that, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. You identify as polyamorous, but I think you also identify as relationship anarchist, which is something.
Cam's face right now.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
Relationship anarchy as opposed to, like, you don't believe in relationships?
No, not at all. That's not. I mean, no, not at all. That was a confusing way to say that. That's not what it means.
Yeah. Why don't you tell them what it means?
I'm going to give you like the super short version. Yeah. Basically, the idea behind relationship anarchy, it was originally created by a queer community in Sweden, actually, that kind of invented this term and kind of codified it.
Well, made a manifesto.
Kind of figured out what it is. And essentially, it's the idea that they wanted to sort of enforce... gosh, I'm picking all the wrong words right now. They want to have the idea that each relationship between two people, meaning any relationship, like you and I, Cam, have a relationship because we're relating to each other right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Karen Lee, we have one right
now. So hot right now.
Right?
There you go. Exactly.
And that each of those relationships are defined by us. Like, we get to define that, whatever it is. And just because I might be romantic with Dedeker doesn't mean that I have to prioritize her over you all the time. Mm-hmm. Or because I'm romantic with someone doesn't mean I have to have sex with them. Or because I have sex with someone doesn't mean I have to have X, Y, and Z other things that go along with it.
That you have to live with them, that you have to marry them. That, yeah, it, again, because we kind of put, we put that on relationships often, just that like one thing equals the next, yeah, essentially. Right. Like, okay, I, you know, am in a relationship with this person and I spend a huge amount of time with them. And so therefore that means that I need to eventually move in with them.
It's
that
the,
I need
it's
to
like the bottom bitch.
Well, oh, well, sure. What? Or then I need to like move up the relationship escalator with them instead of like doing those things that I guess society has put pressure on us to do within our relationships. You're sort of deciding for yourself, like what you want those relationships to look like. Like you could, for instance, in a relationship anarchy kind of situation, you could have a kid with someone and raise that kid with like your best friend, as opposed to someone else. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, like
or
the person
your
you have
romantic
a child
partner.
With doesn't
exactly.
have to be your romantic partner necessarily.
And you don't need to live with your romantic partner or with the person you're married to. Instead, you could live with someone else.
But
yeah.
Who do you actually sleep with? Like, who does the
laundry? Who you have sex with?
No.
Wait, do you mean sleep?
Who,
or
who do you sleep in a bed with? Like, who snores? I can tell you that I got someone that snores. I can actually see being a relationship anarchist as well now.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends. So for me personally, I spend usually about half of the year or so with Dedeker, living together. We'll travel a lot together, or she'll stay with me here in LA, or we'll, you know, be somewhere else together. But then the other part of the year, I just live with my roommate here in LA.
And they have a really deep connection as well. You guys have a great relationship.
Is it a male or a female roommate?
Male roommate. Well, male and female roommate. It's a couple that are my roommates. But yeah, it's for me personally, it's not like I don't have a home that's like, this is our home. And so whoever lives in this home with me is the most important person. But a lot of other people do who are polyamorous. You know, you can choose to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people have a more like hierarchical standpoint. Yeah.
This is amazing.
So in other words, you don't believe monogamy.
I think monogamy is great for some people. I think it can be a really romantic and powerful thing. I think the problem is that most people never choose it. They just take it because they think it's the only option.
Mm. Right.
And for me, like I was in a romantic relationship with Jace for a number of years and also Dedeker. And then I started dating someone else and I decided, like we all kind of decided, like this is the person who I want to be with at this point. And I ended my romantic relationship with Jace and Dedeker. And Josh and I, who I live with now, he and I were polyamorous for a while. We dated other people, but then over a period of time decided that the best place for our relationship was a monogamous place. And so that's currently what we're doing.
So why?
I think because it's a challenging thing for him to be polyamorous, and he is more monogamous at heart for sure.
What does that look like when it's challenging?
I think it's challenging in the way that a lot of just the idea of polyamory is challenging for a lot of people in general, that it's hard from a standpoint of looking at things like jealousy, looking at things like how, you know, I want to feel the most special and the most important, and it's challenging to see my partner with someone else and know that those things, you know, intrinsically are there. Or if they're not, or if like I have to change my entire viewpoint of what a relationship is, some people don't want that.
How did it make you feel when he basically said, I'd rather this be monogamous?
It was a challenge initially. I think it was the relationship trajectory was heading in that direction for sure, through a series of just a lot of things that occurred in our relationship, good and bad, it kind of was moving in that direction.
And that was over the course of a while,
a long time. Like a year and a half, 2 years. Yeah, because we've been together now for almost 5 years also. Our relationship started when the podcast kind of started, a month afterwards. So I think with all of that, yeah, it just has moved in that direction. And it, to a degree, I think kind of put it back to a base level of okay, here we are, because we hadn't really ever been monogamous mm-hmm. until we decided to be. Because when I started dating him, I was with Jason Dedeker, and I also had a couple other people in the picture.
So he knew what he was getting.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
What about between you guys? So you started as a monogamous couple.
Yeah.
And then at what point was there one day where let's do this thing?
Well, we broke up for a week. We broke up, and then after a series of still living together and being having good relationship talks with each other.
Mm-hmm. You broke up for what reason?
I think any reason that anyone does. That's a good question.
The way that she described it to me was at the time was this I'm happy, nothing's bad here. This is a good relationship. I love you, but there's a certain passion or something missing in my life, and that's something I want to have in my life. And so I feel like we should break up. I was I've been kind of feeling the same way. I get that, but let's not maybe rush to just now we break up and never talk again.
Yeah.
And we were living together at the time and had pets together and stuff like that. So it's just let's
a lot of animals
let's take
together.
It slow.
Yeah.
Let's take it slow. And we broke up, but still lived together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a week later.
Yeah.
When we were just oh my God, you're so hot. And it all of a sudden was
all that
back
passion
and it's
comes
back. Okay, well, let's try something else now. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
eventually
you've...
got us to
polyamory. Whose idea was it to try something else?
Well, you've known about polyamory for a while.
I didn't know about it when we started.
But you knew about it in, Stranger in a Strange Land. That's your gateway book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down. What is it? Stranger?
Stranger in a Strange Land.
It's gotta write that one down.
It's an old sci-fi book from the 40s, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not about polyamory at all.
Oh, I
polyamory
say,
didn't
that
exist
does not sound
until
like,
the 90s. Like the term
like
didn't
Trek.
Exist till the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, you
I
just,
learned about it from someone that I went on a date with we were doing an open relationship.
That's true.
Oh, so it started
open. Wait. Yeah. Okay, back up.
Okay.
I thought during that week you literally met this person and went on a date with them and she was
during that week we were broken up, you're right.
Polyamorous, yeah, and you were well, this sounds kind of interesting.
So then got a couple books. I was reading one of them, you were reading the other, and kind of eventually...
Yeah.
Through that, ended up at polyamory.
And then 2 years later, we decided that we were proficient enough at this that we would make a whole podcast about it. Yeah.
Why not?
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, relationships are so freaking hard.
Yeah.
To open it up to add more relationships, I think, is like a hornet's nest. It's like, what the hell did I do here? I guess.
Thoughts
I don't know.
On that?
I don't know. I didn't. Yes, obviously, there are parts of having multiple relationships that are really, really challenging. But when you're polyamorous, also, I think that your mind expands into things that you wouldn't have thought of previously just within the confines of monogamy. And I think because of that, it gives a different idea of what relationships can look like and what they are. And you're how much you own the other person in a sense, how much the other person is yours to have only. Because when you look at it from a polyamorous standpoint, they're an autonomous person and you're an autonomous person and you're not entitled to anything necessarily of them. You're entitled to, the things that the two of you decide to do together. And so I think from that standpoint, it just kind of changes your idea about the relationships that you're in general.
I mean, I understand the whole, I can have sex, I can separate sex and love. I can think of Well, I could see doing like a threesome, even if, you know, especially if he was in the room or something like that. I could see that. That probably wouldn't make me jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a pretty confident person. I can see where it could be annoying. So like he's spending too much time with her. I'm sitting here by myself. But in general, I think that concept of like having sex with other people, that's not really what I'm thinking would be the hard part of the relationship. The hard part would be like, oh, why is he taking her out to the movies every night this weekend? I'm sitting at home.
Sure.
That part would be difficult for
me. That can be difficult. Yeah. Absolutely.
And what would happen if like he just like said, you know what? I really like her. I want to be with her. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're fun too, but I'm going to take a pass on you right now. I mean, it's hurtful. So, you know, I guess why open Pandora's box?
Can I ask you a hard question?
Yeah.
What's stopping him from doing that right now?
I guess the fact that you didn't try it, you know? I mean, I'm just saying, if you don't try it, it's like opening the Pandora's box. If you don't know what you're missing, then you probably, you know, because are you not at all concerned, like, the Deniker is going to, like, decide, I'd rather spend more time with so-and-so and less time with you. I don't want to go to Japan this year.
I mean, sure, things can fluctuate from time to time, but if you think about like your example of, say, you're in a monogamous relationship or you're married or whatever, and your partner starts to connect to someone, like a coworker that they're really connecting with, the only way that they can explore that is to start being a little bit sneaky maybe and exploring that. And if they think there might be something there, their only option is cheat or break up with you. Or just don't explore it and always wonder and hope what it could have been.
Or just like say, oh, I'm going through a phase right now. I don't really need to explore it. Because sometimes sure. like the sure. fantasy.
Repress.
But like I've been turned on by certain people in my life. And I almost feel like the fantasy of having sex with this person probably would be way better than the actual.
Yeah, sure.
It,
that's true.
Know?
Yeah, that's
possibly.
So why don't I just leave that fantasy where it is?
Yeah. But then if you think about something like polyamory, where say I have a partner who does start developing feelings for someone, they could go on a date there. And if they do decide, oh, I do want to be romantic with this person, they don't have to break up with me to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people tend to think of polyamory as being like more likely to break up. And I actually feel like it's the opposite.
Really?
From my experience, because your options aren't so black and white.
Yeah.
It's not like if
I find someone I'm interested in, then well, that means that this person isn't the one, and or I right. shouldn't be in a relationship with them. It's instead like, well, you know, I'm interested in this person. Let's see where that goes. What I also used to say is like each person brings out a different facet of who I am, because you think about it when you're around your friends, like you might be around this person and you know, you guys always have fun together. You might be around this other person and you have deep philosophical conversations.
This one I go to the movies with.
Exactly.
This one I don't.
The same is true in relationships. So you get to explore different facets of who you are through the lens of each of those relationships.
So do you guys both think monogamy is dead?
No, not at all.
Clearly it's
not. She's doing it right
now. Yeah, exactly. No, but
so are you resentful that you're monogamous?
No, definitely not. No, I think I am. I can view my relationship, knowing all of the things that I learned from polyamory, and it enables me to feel less like I'm entitled to things within my relationship. I'm entitled to my partner's time. I'm entitled to whatever. Instead, it's like, if he really wants to do these things with me, that means he really wants to do them. And I have to trust that. I mean, I will say, like, doing our podcast, there's so many things that we talk about where I'm like, fuck, like, that is what, you know, if I did all of these things, that would mean, like, I was a really perfect partner. And that's definitely not what we are, what any of us are. It's, like, easier to, I guess, not always do the things that we say on the podcast. And instead, like, we probably are just striving to do that from time to time. But I do think that I've learned like a ton from just being on the podcast and being in a polyamorous relationship. And that is brought into my monogamous relationship now.
So is marriage to you guys ancient construct?
Not necessarily. I think marriage can be used for a lot of awesome, it's a tool in a lot of ways.
You're smiling.
It's something we've talked about a ton. We've debated over the years. And it's, you know, like I know a lot of polyamorous people who still feel like getting married is a really important thing that they want to do in their life. And that's great. Unfortunately, they can't do that with multiple partners. So yeah. people will, you know, try to like, they'll create a corporation together
like an LLC,
to try to secure some of the rights they could have gotten by getting married. Because like in our country, we have, there's something like,
there's like something 200 like two, and something.
No, like 2,000 rights that you get by being married. And really? Only like a quarter of them are obtainable any other way besides getting married.
It's wild.
It's a wild system. Yeah.
I just know it's a pain in the ass to break up. Marriage to get divorced.
Yeah, for sure.
And even like the tax deductions that you get just from being married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a big one is having children, who gets custody.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, you said earlier on your podcast that you were not intending, I'm talking to Jace now.
Yeah.
You were not intending to have children.
For me personally, no. Yeah.
Does that relate to polyamory at all?
No, totally unrelated.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just an entirely unrelated personal choice. Yeah.
Did you guys grow up in like open-minded background homes?
Yes. I didn't.
No. Yeah.
But I didn't.
My mom had me out of wedlock and she had an affair with my father who was married and had two kids. And that's how I'm here. So yes.
She can't judge you.
No, but she did.
Really?
She definitely did. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
How did you handle that?
It was rough. Yeah, it was rough. Initially. But then we had a lot of talks about it. And I think she came around a bit. But I think her ideal of like what love is between two people. And even though she never actually has done that, like for real, like she's not married now. She's been single for 15 years at least, you know, God, maybe more than that. Yeah. I think that she's still like her ideal for me is to have me be with one person. Yeah.
And I can imagine for someone who has that value and does not seem to be able to, you know, access it for herself, seeing it in you can then trigger a lot of emotions for herself, being like, well, why the fuck can't I, you know, like,
sure, that's a good point.
Canvas
psychiatrist here.
That's great.
I am curious about this idea of like whether more relationships will lead to more problems. Like
more relationships, more problems.
That's exactly it.
That's my theory. I think it's tough. Like,
you know, like,
what was that movie?
I mean, it can.
What was that TV show with the Mormons?
Big Love.
Big Love. Yeah, that was a lot. There was a lot of drama going on in that show.
Well, that's how they like to portray it.
First of all, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
But second of all, in that situation, like I think that would be complicated, where everyone's living together.
Andry? No, it was the opposite of polyandry. Polygamy.
Yeah. So polygamy in that case, it's one man married to multiple women. They don't get to date or marry anyone else. They don't date each other. Like they're all just connected to him and they all live together. And like, yeah, that sounds fucking complicated and also not very fair, to be honest.
No, not at all.
It sounds like kind of a shit deal for the women in that situation. So I think that, sure, it can be complicated just because relationships are. But I, at least for me, I have not found it to be any more complicated. As I think sometimes people think polyamory, it's like if I think about how much goes on in one relationship that I have where I'm spending, you know, every single night with them every week. And, you know, we're really intense and sometimes we'll have fights and sometimes things will be good. And there's always like, what's the next step? And like, they kind of take that and they multiply it by two or three.
Right.
And they're like, how could you ever do that?
Right.
How could you have a job and do that?
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference is it's the relationships don't look the same. They are a little bit different.
So
partly because of time.
Do you think that is it a bit more, I don't want to say shallow, but is it like not as
intense?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, both of your relationships are very intense. Yeah.
Yeah, both of my relationships are very intense. And very,
I think Dedeker's as well.
Yeah, and very,
very loving.
Long term and whatever. I've also had some more casual relationships too, but I think that's relationships, you know. Sometimes they're really deep and sometimes they're not.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if so the person that like your confidant, you go to them with all of your problems, you are so open and honest with this person, but now you have two people, so now you choose to have half the time you're confiding one person, half the other. And then so does that but by not should
well do
it,
you
does
only...
that feel the case? Like, I might be completely off base here in imagining that scenario.
I mean, do you only confide in one person, period? Like, do you have multiple friends in which you confide in?
He only confides
that is a great,
in me.
Great oh, question well, yeah. as well.
It's
I
all
have
right
my
here
mother.
On the...
This is that's all I need. Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Like, of course,
you have like yeah. that kind of. I think you don't realize, but you're in a polyamorous relationship.
I'm in a triad in
you're,
a way.
You're in a triad
with
in
you
a
and
a
non-sexual
triad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's
my two best friends are a couple.
Oh,
and
there
I
you
spend
go.
Night and day with these people.
He's a throuple.
Well, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
So, and it goes back to the question: what is the difference between a romantic relationship and a friendship? You know.
Yeah. I don't. I still haven't figured out that answer.
Yeah.
And
so,
I because
so
I don't
Cam,
think there
you're,
is.
You are multi-amory.
I am. You're multi-amorous.
You are multi-amory. I love but, that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I am multi-amory. Exactly. That'll be our new ad campaign.
You are. You are. If you looked in the dictionary, there's a picture of Cam.
Yeah. There you go.
And I guess to answer my own question, I do bring certain things in my life to one of them and mm-hmm. certain things to the other because I right. know that they each have their own strengths and,
yeah.
you know, I would, and sometimes it brings it both
yeah.
And get both their perspectives. So, yeah, I guess it wouldn't be just like, if I didn't have one of them, I would just spew right. all the shit on the other.
Yeah. I think there's also this, I guess, kind of common misconception that depending entirely on one person is somehow more romantic. Mm. And that's actually something like in a lot of really good relationship advice for monogamous people is to not expect your spouse to be everything.
Yeah.
It's like,
the whole Esther
is that,
I don't,
that's good or bad.
And that's a good thing.
I'm on that one. I'm
right.
Not, yeah. I'm not, I mean,
cause if they're the one who's like keeping you accountable to your diet and making sure you do the things you said you were going to do and like being your policeman and your trainer
yeah. and
I don't
also
fuck
your
that
therapist.
Person.
Yeah. yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
no,
it's
exactly.
like, no, I want my best friend to be the one who holds me accountable about going to the gym. And I want this other friend to be the one, like my coach to help me like work on my goals. Yeah. And then I can actually focus on having a romantic relationship with my partner.
Yeah.
You know, this whole idea of like when I grew up, it was like, just get your MRS degree, get married.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about what you're going to be. You could just make sure you married a wealthy guy so he can take wow. care of you and we can yeah. raise the kids and that whole thing. And I did all that.
Yeah.
And it's so different. I mean, like, and I was like a Mrs. So-and-so, you know?
Yeah.
I never want to be a Mrs. anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, really, I don't know why anybody would.
So do you think your viewpoints have changed as well over time?
Dramatically.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, I don't even
go.
Believe in the concept of marriage anymore.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I live with a man, but I don't believe in, I mean, he'd probably want to get married to me, but I always say no all the time, but it's yeah. just like, I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Can we talk a little about your triad?
Sure.
With Yeah, sure.
Yeah. When the three of you guys were together, did first of all, why did you choose to create that arrangement?
I mean, because I was also really attracted to Dedeker, and she kissed me one day, and that was nice.
Wait, did you consider yourself queer at any point before that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
I'm
you
very
knew...
queer.
What yeah. age did you know that you prefer both sexes?
Long time ago, and it was something that I struggled with kind of coming to terms with for myself. But yeah, no, I mean, I've always been into women, always. But I definitely... I've heard the narrative of like, well, if you're bisexual, like you're actually just gay, or if you're bisexual, like you're kind of holding out, you have to decide eventually which sex you actually like more. And that's mm-hmm. complete bullshit.
That's like what I grew up with.
Yeah.
That.
Of course.
And
yeah.
Since I do my podcast, I don't think that way at all.
Sure. Yeah.
That is definitely an old notion.
Yeah.
But I bet sure. it's still popular notion.
Yeah,
it still is. It's like if you're a bisexual guy, it's like you're actually gay and you still have one foot over the fence. And if you're a bisexual woman, it's like, oh, you just like to have some fun, but you're really straight.
Yeah, right. Just girlish fun.
Katy yeah. Perry type of it's, kissing.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, exactly. But no. And so it kind of, I mean, Dedeker's amazing. And we were in a relationship. You guys were in a relationship. And I was in a relationship with you. And so it kind of grew out of that. Yeah, and it was good. And
that's like every guy's dream.
I mean, yeah, it was great. They also had other partners too. Like yeah. it wasn't just like the three of us became this closed thing.
Mm. Yeah, no, it wasn't polyfidelitous.
That's the term for that, yeah.
That, yeah, I know. That was
holy
what I was
moly.
Yeah.
Polyfidelity.
There's a lot of terms. We'll try not to overwhelm you with them.
Do you remember a moment when there was a lot of jealousy that was raised?
Sure. No, I'm trying to think between the three of us, not really. Although, I mean, A bit. I think that, yeah, Dedeker and I were both in a relationship with someone together, not in a triad, but we both were in a relationship with another person.
Was it a guy or a girl?
A guy. And things got a little rough with that whole configuration. And
what do you mean? Who was upset?
He had a lot of sort of jealousy and insecurity that came up
surrounding you,
surrounding me. And partly it also coincided with him, like, having lost a lot of money in a bad investment. And so his personal worth was a little bit down, wow. I think, which added to that. But his response to being jealousy, or to being jealousy,
jealousy.
His response to that was to really try to control Dedeker.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And limit her time with me and things like that. And then I got definitely in response to that, got jealous of her then choosing to let him do that.
And then on my end, I was seeing how much these two men that I was with were fighting and being upset over this person that wasn't me.
Wow. So I gotta meet this Dedeker. She sounds unbelievable.
She is unbelievable. She's amazing. Yeah. But
what makes her so unbelievable?
I mean, she's intelligent. She's gorgeous. She's awesome. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, she's super great, but
I don't even think that was what it was about.
No,
though.
It was just on that end, there was a lot of anguish happening over there between the three of you, and I felt left out.
Sure.
And in the middle of all that, I met Josh, and then there was a person who, because we were going through a bunch of NRE, new relationship energy.
Thank you.
Because
throwing the terms out
exactly.
There.
I love because this. We were going through a bunch of that, it also heightened the emotion of well, I'm finding solace in this other person. Maybe I should leave this behind. That is eventually what I did.
But in that situation where his response was to try to be kind of more and more controlling of Dedeker and limiting her time with me and what she was allowed to do with me and things like that, my response at first was to kind of pull back, to pull also, to try to be we have a relationship too, spend time with me. And that there eventually came a point though where I sort of was like, hey, this isn't okay for me. The fact that you're canceling on me for plans with someone else or whatever it is. And I'm not going to keep pulling and trying to force you to do this if you don't want to do this.
Mm.
Those weren't exactly the words I used. And this was probably over the course of several times of talking. But she's said since then that for her, that was the big change. It was the two women fighting over the baby in the Bible, and that king says, well, I'll cut it in half and you each get a half. And the one who says, no, she can
king
take
Solomon.
It.
Yeah.
And the one who says, no, she can take it
yeah.
is the real mom, because she wants the baby to live more than she wants to have half
I got
of
chills,
it. Right.
Yeah.
So it was kind of that situation there.
So you were the mom in that scenario? And Dedeker was the baby?
He was the good mom.
That's exactly what that was.
Yeah.
So are you a...
And then I got my baby back.
Yeah, you did.
You got
yeah,
your
you
baby, you won. But you are not attracted to men.
No, I am. I have dated men. I mostly date women. I don't know if that's just out of habit.
But the guy that you...
I did not date him. No.
Okay. Yeah. That would have solved things too, maybe.
We tried a threesome to solve that, and that didn't go
work.
So well. No, that just led to more upsetness. Yeah.
was everyone very much okay, we're going to check this out.
Yeah.
We're going to see if this
works.
Yeah, why did y'all
do
that?
It was his idea as a thing to do for her, because he knew she would be into it, and she was, but then she wasn't into how much he freaked out about it afterward and was insecure about it. He did afterward.
Oh, I see,
of just kind of
did you like it
insecure no because it was just awkward. It was weird. Yeah. It wasn't a fun experience.
It was more for a show.
I've had better threesomes, I'll tell you that.
Do you put in your profiles an OkCupid, I'm interested in polyamory or anything like that?
Yes.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So that's how you find like-minded people.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. OkCupid has also in recent years added a lot of options for specifying that in your profile. There's actually a checkbox for am I monogamous or non-monogamous? So you can search by it instead of just having to read everyone's profiles and look for it like you used to have to do.
What were you looking for? Right. Well, I don't even know what you'd look for.
My long walks on the beach and going on dates with other people. And you know, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. There's also a new one called Open that just, I think it might even still be in beta testing, but a new one that's kind of intended for more flexible ways of specifying things like your gender and your sexual orientation and stuff like that. Oh.
Yeah.
Does allow you to link your profile to someone else and try to find dates as a couple or as an individual.
Oh, wow.
Which I feel like is what a lot of people think polyamory is, even though, like I was saying, realistically, polyamory is having multiple relationships at the same time and your partner's also doing that. And it's not so much about couples going and finding a third.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
That's the idea that like every fucking news place that comes to us wanting to like interview us or talk to us, they like, want to talk about couples finding thirds. And we're like,
and they want to talk to us about our triad.
That's not what most actual polyamorous people do.
I think I'm polyamorous. You know? Because right now, my boyfriend's out with his best friend and they're wandering around. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm polyamorous.
Yeah.
At least I believe your relationship matters.
I'm totally fine. I'm totally fine with him being with this guy for hours, whatever.
Right. What about your like transition into this? Like, I mean, you're hosting this podcast. Like, were you always like a very open kid growing up?
You were a religious kid for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty religious growing up, but I've always been pretty open about talking about things. I think it was something that particularly stood out with my male friends is that I would kind of end up being the guy friend that you could talk to about the stuff that's a little more vulnerable or a little more intimate or whatever, I guess.
So I can.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I had that quality. That just kind of happened. It wasn't like I set out with that as my goal. But that's just kind of what happened. So I guess because of that, I felt more comfortable, I guess. Yeah.
So was that really a surprise to anyone when you started going down this route?
Of doing a podcast?
No. Opening up.
No, it was a surprise to no one. Yeah.
That surprised no one. Yeah. I'd wanted to do a podcast for a long time. doing polyamory.
Yeah. Taking an alternative lifestyle.
I don't think anyone was surprised by it.
But you were engaged like...
What?
At 23.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was, like I said, it was a different time.
I was 23, too.
Yeah.
Married at 23. Wow. Yeah.
Got engaged at 23, and we broke up like a year and a half later before getting married.
Oh, gotcha.
But I mean, sure, that was forever ago.
So why did you break that off?
I didn't. It was one of those, like, I love you, but I don't think I'm in love with you anymore kind of things. Where I honestly think a little bit similar to what Emily and I were describing that, like, I love you and things are great and we get along so well, but there's like a something I'm looking for that I'm not getting.
It is interesting that like that in order to like get married, people are like, well, you need to have that extra passion spark thing, which I think is fine and understandable. But after a long period of time, it's probably challenging to like always find that.
Well, that's why there's that like 10 million books out there about like how to keep the spark alive and stuff. Because it's like,
it's the most common question we get.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So what would your tips be for the couple that says, you know, sex, she doesn't really want to do it as much as I want to do. What do we do?
I mean, I'm going to answer your question way more real than you probably were expecting.
Oh, no, I love real.
Is that there's been research that's shown that relationships where there are no consequences for saying no to sex will tend to have sex more often.
There are no consequences to saying no to sex.
Right. That if we're in we're married, and you know, I'm like, hey, let's, you want to, you know, get it on. And you're like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it tonight. If it's like, okay, no, that's fine. Like that's actually fine. We're more likely to have sex just in general if our relationship is built on that kind of communication.
As opposed to being the ones where it's like,
and like, now I'm kind of pouting around the house about it, or I'm making you feel bad about it, or pressuring you or something.
You're not going to fucking want to go back to that and be like, exactly. I want to fuck now.
Well, exactly. And then also the other person usually who is doing the pouting or being upset is probably not going to always want to come forward and say like, hey, do you want to do this for fear of being rejected as well?
Terms of like that question though, if I'm just saying the husband he wants to have sex more and the wife doesn't, and she's not pouting about it, but because she just says no. So how does that feed into what you're just trying to explain?
I think that it's, unfortunately, I think if you're like really at that point, you've got some work of kind of undoing probably some years of that situation of, yeah. of it not being okay to say no, which ironically will make them say no more rather than less,
got it.
You know, and like kind of trying to get to the bottom of communicating about that. And, we have a thing that we sort of put together by combining some other techniques and things called Radar, which is this like monthly relationship check-in.
And sex is one of the things that you talk about during that.
And it gives you a time to talk about things like sex or to talk about arguments you've had or
family, in-laws.
Right.
Yeah.
It gives you a time to talk about that when it's not, we're right in the middle
Is it an acronym for something?
Yeah, it's the acronym for like the steps of it. So you review the past month, you agree the agenda, you discuss it, you make action points that are actual like actionable things you can check in next month. And then at the end you reconnect. Which can be like appreciating each other or cuddling or having sex or, you know, whatever it is.
You guys should write a book about that.
We are.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is the name of the book Radar?
No, it's kind of a...
I don't know the title yet.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's going to be like a bunch of different tools and things.
Yeah, it's more comprehensive, like all of our stuff that we've done on the show over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It's not called Fuck Games... Date?
This is your own book title.
No, this
fuck
is great.
Game, fuck Games, Date a Cougar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Literally your own book title that you could not remember.
Well, it's a new title. Just happened.
Does this book exist or you're writing this book
right now?
I'm writing it.
Changed the name at Cam's suggestion.
Oh, there you go.
We saw on the New York Times bestseller list there was like two books that had fuck in the title. I figured,
the Mark Manson
The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
And, yeah, there you go. Exactly.
And then I think... There's another one too. It's like the something else about
Everything's Fucked. His newest
book. So you're gonna see my book up there if I can remember the name of it. So what books do you guys recommend for
Dedeker's book?
Oh, Dedeker wrote a book too. Fuck Games.
The Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory. What
the
is
smart,
it?
The Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory.
Colon.
What is it called?
Everything you need to know about
relationships, but never wanted to ever. Yeah,
no,
ask
oh
or
my
I don't
goodness,
know.
That's a book in the title.
Yeah,
there's a lot of names.
No, it's
in
just
that.
Called.
It's really long.
It's just called The Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory.
Okay,
there's a subtitle that's long
by Dedeker.
But what if it's a guy?
Yeah,
can a guy read it too?
Yes,
a guy can definitely read it.
The book is called that, but it's equally applies to anybody. It just was written that because no one else had really. Made a book that was kind of about polyamory catered to women.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Even though most of the authors about polyamory are women.
Yeah.
And most of the like leaders in the polyamory world are women, but people still think of it as a thing for men, a thing that benefits men more than women.
Whoa.
Even though
because guys want to get off and they want to have multiple partners.
Because
and they
people
wanna,
think it's
yeah.
that.
Well, is it true? Is it true that men are like hornier than women?
No.
I wanted to ask you, do you think that it's a biological preference to be polyamorous versus...
That is a good question.
That's a good question.
Like the debate.
I know.
Yeah.
It gets
asked are people inherently polyamorous or not?
Like, are they inherently gay or straight?
Yeah.
And I feel like that question about like, is someone inherently gay or straight was something that I remember like growing up, that question was asked a lot in the
news. It
was
like in your genes.
Right. Is it, oh, we found this gene for it. Then someone else being like, oh, but no, like also your upbringing has this factor. And it was all because the reason why people cared so much about that question is because if you're born that way, it must be okay. And if you're not, then it must be bad.
Yep.
And
like
so,
otherwise you're choosing to live this life of
sin.
So, right.
But who cares if you choose that?
Yeah. And like, I feel like now we don't ask that question as much about being gay or straight. It's just like, well, it doesn't matter though.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm curious, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I think we have a similar thing with polyamory because polyamory, unlike being gay, is not legally protected at all. Like I could get fired from my job for it.
Polygamous or polyamorous?
Polyamorous. Polygamy is illegal. I do want to be clear on that for our listeners here. Being married to more than one person at a time is illegal in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you said you could lose your job by being polyamorous?
Yeah, like there's no legal protection. Same as like for being kinky. Like, if your boss or some coworker found out that you're into rope play or something and they were upset by that, you could get fired and have no legal recourse.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Same with polyamory. It's not a protected thing like your race is, like your sexual preferences, like your gender.
Yeah, it's not saying
is.
You're I discriminating see. Against me yeah. for X.
So there's no anti-discrimination yeah. for things like kink or gotcha. Polyamory or,
open,
you know.
Yeah, relationships. Yeah.
Whereas there is for... religion or race or sexual identity. Yeah.
If people wanted to, we unfortunately have to wrap things up.
Oh.
But we'll stick around and do a little Patreon bonus episode.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
totally.
So if you want to, our wonderful listener, want to hear more from Emily and Jace, get on patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. And then how do people find you guys?
Well, multiamory.com. The Multiamory podcast is on iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere. And then also Instagram at multiamory_podcast.
Ooh.
Twitter at multiamory.
Yeah, just search
is multiamory.
Is it
just multiamory?
You'll find it.
Yeah. And then what else? Yeah, patreon.com/multiamory. We have right. a lovely community of Patreon listeners. And they actually, you can become like one of our best friends and go on our private Facebook group, which is really cool. Yeah, yeah, it's a great community.
We need one of those communities, mother.
Yeah,
right?
I
want to be part of that.
And
community.
I want to be part of your community.
They're amazing. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Yes.
So thank you both
sweet.
So much.
Thank you
so
much.
So fun. This was a great podcast.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
Make sure to go and check out the Multiamory podcast to hear us on their podcast.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a lot of
fun. Wonderful time talking about it.
Okay. That's enough. Bye.